How long gone? Super Tuesday. Them jeans. How are you feeling?
Is it a Super Tuesday?
No, that was a joke. It's just a regular Tuesday.
I mean, you're just
Tuesday,
having a Super Tuesday. It has no political affiliation or
I'm having, yeah, I'm having a Super Tuesday. I had a nice night's sleep. I went to the Atlanta Barbell Club and really got my chest day on. Mm. And now I'm here podcasting with you. Does it get better is the question.
What's up with the Atlanta Barbell Club? It feels less of a gym and more of like a, I don't know, community outreach program or something.
It's actually, I mean, I've talked about it before, I think, but it's a place where I can go online.
Is there a pulling weeds about this?
No. I would never blow up my spot like that. I'd just do it on the podcast where a lot more people listen.
We're not as big as GQ.
Sure. It's a gym that I can go online and pay like $50 for a week, and you get a barcode and you scan in, and it's literally just like a room full of squat racks and benches and weights. And like, that's it. And it's this weird community of people that like all are like deadlifting and doing like kind of gnarly exercises, but they're not young or even super in shape. It's kind of inspiring, to be honest. It's like,
okay, this sounds like an AA meeting in some ways. I'm still stuck on just the word barcode that they give you a barcode at the bar club. I want to see. I'm working with something here. If there's like a female empowerment type of barcode spelled BARRECODE. Just something to think about. I don't know.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, but today I was in there with two women like my mom's age, and they were fucking getting it in.
Mm-hmm.
They were wearing like the belt, like the weightlifter belt, doing fucking deadlift. I'm like, this is crazy. But they were strong. It's cool. But it's just weird because there's no music and everybody's just listening to their own headphones. It's just, you know. It's a place that serves a purpose.
In many ways, this sounds like a little bit of Southern Paradise, if you ask me. No music playing?
You're telling me, brother. Come on down.
Just the sound of clanking.
Yeah, exactly. You can hear, no matter how loud I turn up the Morning Again album, I could still hear some clanking.
Morning Again. Good Lord.
Hey, look.
Good Lord. I was listening to Modest Mouse today at the gym when I was on my rowing machine, as well as my decline. Decline bench press. Sorry.
Yeah, decline. Oh, interesting. I didn't know you were. I thought you were doing incline. So he switched it up on him.
Well, I mean, incline's Monday. You fucking idiot. Decline's Tuesdays. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. You're.
But
right.
I'll tell you what. There are days. The days that I do bench press, they end with a Y. Let's just say that.
Okay, I got you.
And obviously that's not true at all based on my body.
Your look. Your look. So yesterday, this article went viral, if you will. I don't know if you saw it. Cho sent it to the chat, but it's been everywhere. Former guest Delia has a Substack that's like guests, I guess. Like every episode is a different every dispatch is a different person. It's called D's Links.
Yeah, D's Links. She's been doing, I think, for a long time, or has been doing it for a while, and then. She started doing a series built into her newsletter where it's guest contributors posting anonymous essays about things that they hate, sort of trying to increase the hateration in our world, in our snowflaked world.
Yeah, and yesterday's victim was menswear. Menswear is a spindly glory hole that if you dare jam your dick in, tickles for a second, but mostly makes you feel broke and sad. And it's almost good. It's like almost good. It's almost good. It's like kind of funny, but it's just like too much.
Well, go easy on it. Whoever wrote it is listening to this right now.
For sure. For sure. I mean, I just don't know. If you're gonna do something like this, you gotta put your name on it. Like, who cares? Like, what do you?
Yeah.
Like, you make fun of Benny Safdie. It's not like you're making fun of real people.
Yeah, it's not like you're calling out Sam Hine by name.
Yeah, I think Sam Hine and a few other.
No, he's mentioned in it.
I think they get. They're the positive. They're the only positive strays.
Yeah,
the rare positive stray.
Yeah, I was talking to to the Shermanator about this, and I was saying, like, you know, if you're going to write this and it's going to get all this hoopla, you know, don't do it anonymous. There, I guess it doesn't, it seems pointless to write something like this anonymously, you know. And she said, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all over the web today. At least get the byline, right?
Yeah, but it must be, that means, that to me leads me to believe that it's someone close to the sun, that if mm-hmm. they put their name on it, it would cause them financial harm, is my only guess.
Yes, yes. And then knowing who that anonymous person is, you must make the high that must feel like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, walking around big dick swinging, knowing that you got 22 comments on a Substack post, 96 likes. And let's not underestimate, Jason, the 10 restacks. you know this as a Substack. As a Substack user, the real metric we're measuring is the restack. That's what we're
looking
for. Yeah,
that is sort of, I was sort of briefly interviewed about my Substack yesterday, and one of the things that I guess I was forced to reckon with the Substack itself, because I haven't really thought about it at all, but I was realizing that I like Substack because I don't feel compelled to check the performance analytics, the stats, yeah. Then, you know,
no, that is nice.
Because
that
like you
nice.
Don't just open up, you know, like you open up your Twitter or Instagram, whatever, and it's just bring and like tells you all what's going on and all the action. Substack, you kind of got to dig for it if you want. And I hope that I never check to see how things are performing, except for, you know, the paid subscribers, of course. But
yeah, I
like, it feels like a healthier place.
It does,
to share my thoughts.
Well, it does, except that it's turned into like a prop, like instead of saying newsletter, people say Substack. And I think that mm-hmm. is a mistake. I think we're giving the Substack Corporation too much by doing that. But
okay.
You know, I'm not going to say lip balm. I'm going to say chapstick. You know what I'm saying? So I'm giving.
Well, are you going to say tissue or Kleenex?
Great point. Exactly. No, I'm a capitalist pig. I'm wrong. I do this. I'm trying to unlearn. Okay. I'm trying to unlearn these bad behaviors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. But you know, kudos to Substack for.
It's big.
Getting that SEO, but also, I think people are really realizing that, I mean, well, I won't say who, but after having started up my Substack, there have been a few people in my life, friends of the show and just random ass people, who are like, damn, should I start a Substack?
Yeah, for sure. That's how it always goes. That's how it always goes. I mean, it's when you see people close to you that you like doing it, you're like, oh well, I could do, you see yourself in it a little bit more than,
yeah, I mean, you could see yourself doing it, but you know, do you see yourself, I mean, I'm assuming that 9/10 of it is for capital gains here. I mean, that's the main reason why I did
to
make money on the web.
Let's not underestimate ego inflation and the role that plays in any internet pursuit.
Yeah, that is there, but monetizing it in a time where no monetizing happens no mo, you know, it's attractive.
Yeah, sure.
I was attracted to it.
Sure, I'm not, but I'm glad.
Just like pregnant chicks. I'm glad. I mean, what?
We all have like weird things we're into, you know what I'm saying, Chris?
yeah.
I
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that because sorry to deter, we'll go back to what you're just saying, but a lot of people, you know, WNBA players and the WNBA in general has sort of been a butt of a joke in terms of viewership and ratings and blah blah blah. You know, it's an easy target, but then these college hoops players on LSU, people are really starting to get horny for female basketball players. So I think that's good for the sport overall.
I mean, I don't think there's anything that could save that sport. It's like soccer in America, but you know, I'm praying for all the lady hoopers out there.
Mm-hmm. The lady hoopers.
I hope you can touch the rim. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, come on, bro.
No, I'm kidding. they have wetty jumpers.
Was that an entente?
They play a different game. No, I'm I had a fun time. I had a fun time watching people, you know, debate this little story that, you know, this is exactly what the internet's for. Creating 12 hours of fervent buzz and then disappearing into the
yeah.
thin night.
I want to know. It made me wonder is there, why menswear, the, like, what is, what does menswear even mean? Other than clothing for men.
Well, exactly. Well,
you know what I mean? Like, what exactly does
it mean? Well, it's like any other word. It can take on a new meaning that goes far beyond the intended meaning.
Is it just like people who, like, care more about their fat, you know, men, people who wear men's clothing who care about it a little bit more than the average person?
I would say care about it too much, and also the kind of guy who posts fit pics. Like the kind of guy whose relationships are often based or revolve around clothing, which, even though I do this for a living, I don't think my relationships really revolve around clothing and the discussion of clothing and the obtaining of clothing.
Right.
You know, like,
you're not doing trades with the bros.
I'm not on Grailed lowballing people for Issey Miyake or Comme des Garçons. You know, I like clothes, and it's cool to see cool stuff, but that's, you know, that's it. It's I don't know. But there are people who are are fully dedicated to it, you know.
No, that's okay. I get it. I know a lot of people in my life who have an unhealthy fascination, obsession with clothing and fashion, and I understand. You know, it's a valuable, collectible, interesting asset that can also get you laid and make you look cool and interesting and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yeah. it checks a lot more boxes than many other things that people become obsessed with.
But like everything, Jason, when you take it too far, it just goes into Reddit thread nerd territory, where it's like debating the minutia of something that doesn't matter, which is exactly why we podcast, but that's a separate issue.
It matters to some. It matters to enough.
It matters to some. So we do have a guest today. An indie legend, Jason, Isaac Brock, the leader, singer, and songwriter of Modest Mouse, a band that has been around for a very long time, and their classic album, Good News for People Who Love Bad News, the 20th Anniversary Expanded Edition, is out very soon, thanks to our friends at Sony Music. So let's go to Portland and tap in with the GOAT. I'm guessing he's in Portland. If Isaac Brock,
yeah, I think he's in P-town.
If Isaac Brock wasn't in Portland, I feel like something would be wrong. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I would feel it in my knees, like when a tornado is coming.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my left eye's twitching again. Brock must be down in San Francisco.
Something just ain't right.
This doesn't sit right with me. All right, let's give him a call.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, taking an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com /how long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
So what the fuck are we going to talk about for 2 hours?
No, it's not two hours.
1 hour.
1 hour. Tight hour.
Oh, thank God. It was on my schedule for 2 hours. I was like, I don't have 2 hours of fucking conversation in me this time of day.
So you're saying it's too early in the day for you to really get in your bag conversationally?
I'm a chatty drinker.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
You know?
Okay.
Are you in your lab? Like, are you in a laboratory? Is this like a studio situation? Where are we?
This is the studio. This is my office at the studio.
And you guys allow smoking in the studio?
You know what I said. You know when I use my use my office is these moments.
Sure.
Or tax time when I'm sitting there going like, I don't understand. How do they get all my money?
Sure. When you're crunching the numbers, you're at the desk like a boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't bring up the T word. Now I'm going to be in a bad mood for the rest of this 3-hour podcast, Isaac. Come on.
Yeah.
So you are a chatty drinker. I'm kind of the same way. I'm not a chatty weed smoker though. I go internal with the drugs and I go external with the drinking. Are you like a chatty with the mezcal, the tequila? What is the chattiest for you?
Tequila. I mean, I've kind of stilled down what it is I actually drink as I've gotten older. And so I either drink cider or I fucking drink tequila and things. And I don't really fuck around with anything else.
And neither the two shall meet. Okay. And you're drinking straight tequila?
No. They definitely meet. No, they hang out. They're fucking... really close.
One of them is sitting on the other's lap right now, actually. Okay.
Yeah.
Cider and tequila. That's a real fusion, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, I go dry. I go super dry, if you're curious. So it's like, you know.
I am.
My wife just bought a shit ton of cider from Costco. And I opened one. I took a sip and I put it down because it's like super sweet. And that's what's happened to every single one I've opened. I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm drinking this can of candy.
Well, it makes me feel good to know that even you has a wife who buys stuff from Costco that you don't like. It makes me feel connected with you.
Yeah, I'm still trying to explain like that. Like, there's just certain shit you don't need that much of. Mm-hmm. You're never gonna use that much. This is like if you had a restaurant or a business where everyone was using this. You know,
maybe you'd use it.
Yeah.
I can only have so much Alaskan King Crab a week, babe. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, so many plastic shrunk wrap bags of like you cook fucking French fat bread. Like,
you talking about take and bake?
Yeah. Hey, Rocky, would you give me some tape? I'm gonna tape these into my head.
Do you have an odd shaped ear canal where the AirPods don't fit in?
I think they're small, yes.
Okay.
You didn't bring your in-ears?
Some guys like that.
Those things are horrible. I mean, I use them, but Jesus Christ, they're very invasive. You know?
I love when any, you know.
They get in there.
Any award show when the singer's going in and they rip out the in-ear to just really hit that note. That's one of my, those are my favorite in-ear moments.
I haven't seen that, so I'll take your word on it. I am going to find some tape. Just a second.
No, yeah, take it. Sure. Take your time. Sure. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I feel like I've seen some type of photo or meme of a guy who, like, his AirPods were broken and he just duct taped his phone to the side of his head.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I'm hoping
that is,
we're going to see.
That was my stereo system when I had, like, a 76 Dodge Dart, is I just taped... taped a couple speakers to the headrest on my thing, you know, and like a CD Walkman or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Like when you see the delivery drivers in New York with the helmet and they've got the phone.
Yeah.
Wedged in the helmet.
That's nice.
Feels like a cool hack.
I mean, it transcends hack.
I'd have seen that.
All right. Sounds like he's fired up the modular synth again.
Look, it's not that kind of show. Put that thing away.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of move away from those right now for the next album cycle.
I don't have a drug problem. I'm not fucking with modular synths anymore. There we go.
Okay. Okay, so as long as you don't touch... the tape ears, then we'll be good. When you do touch it, it gets a little feedback, but it,
okay.
Right now we're clear and it's all good.
Great, great. Okay.
And it is a shame that this is an audio only podcast because this is a great visual.
Mm-hmm.
So you were talking briefly when you were taping up, you liken drug use and modular synths in the same category. Could you say more on that, please?
Well, it requires a certain amount of focus and sort of a lack of love of music, but liking to get musical results. And speedy drugs do just that for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, I think I saw a sticker at some point. Modular synths made by people on meth for people on meth or something like that. And shit.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done meth and...
Good for you. I mean, you should just end it right there.
You've never done meth, Jason?
Well, I have done meth. I've never done meth and used a modular synth, but I'm just imagining it's probably more fun to plug things in and out than to actually produce sound.
I've heard that you just manically plug everything in and unplug it a bunch, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
and occasionally you get a sound, but then you can't resist but unplug and plug everything back in again. Sure.
Yeah, and then maybe we should unscrew that LFO modulator and really get in there because there could be a bug hiding inside of there, which is why it sounds so bad.
Right. Or maybe you hid something in there. You're out of something, and maybe you actually hid something in everything.
I'm out of something.
Where could it be?
Whatever that thing could be. My chip clip. My tortilla chips are going to go stale. Where have I hid my chip clip? Okay, so most of the people I know who are into modular synths are DJs, electronic musicians. I wanted to know what your relationship with electronic music is because I feel like your albums, when the way the songs are sequenced together, there's a lot of thought there, and there's been some kind of dance remixes of songs of yours as well.
Well, I still have a modular synth set up, and I still don't know how to fucking use it. So when it comes time to like work on songs or records, a group of us get together, a group of engineers and producers, and we all make a sound with a modular synth. We get there and shit. But it's not something that I can like really freeform use. Like my friend, the guy who owns, it's called Maleco. They make modular synths and shit. He's tried teaching me a bunch of times, and he's really fucking good at it. And he's a good teacher. I'm just not a good student.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have it down there so that when he comes over, he can show me again.
Mm-hmm.
Which might actually happen this afternoon.
Oh. Well, what about like you listening to electronic music, perhaps?
Pretty picky about it and stuff. There are certain, I don't think I know anyone who doesn't like Aphex Twin or Chemical Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's as deep as your catalog really needs to go.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
there's some shit that when it starts feeling organic, when it starts feeling less like it's electronic music and it just happens to use electronic music, it's pretty good. This guy, Chance de Circundo or something, I think he's Peruvian or Bolivian, and that's just good that he uses a lot of like indigenous or whatever, just local singers. I don't know why I had to indigenize the fucking locals there.
He has some friends of his who live nearby him sing on the songs.
They come by and lay down some vocals when he asks.
Yeah, right. Or he just sneaks around with him.
Okay.
Sneaks around with a tape deck is probably my theory. But that shit's good, and I recommend it.
Sounds good. We're vibing. Maybe we're on a beach in Peru or something.
You a beach guy, Isaac?
I like a beach. I like beach. I like a mountain. You know, like all. I don't like a desert that much, but you know they're good for tripping.
When you go, sure. But when you go on vacation, let's say you and the family are you know, it's spring break. Let's say where are you going?
I went to Issaquah, Washington for spring break, and I hung out at my mom's house. Like this awesome. Her and her husband have this awesome hippie manor or whatever house. There's just like all sorts of just really, really cool landscaping. Just actually, like, I used to bitch about the urbanization of Issaquah on my earlier records and stuff. And now I go there, I'm like, what the fuck were you talking about? Like, this place is beautiful. Like, they still haven't, they still haven't like removed half of the fucking mountains. You know, like, they're just like it's still just the same old forest it was 30 years ago. I mean, they still have a bear problem.
So how often do you go visit?
Not as often as I'd like, but I mean, I did just spend a week there and it was great. I was just like, I don't feel like drinking ever. I'm just like, I'm just enjoying playing, you know, with my kids.
Do you and your mom get along? Is it like?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like the kids, the grandkids bring you together kind of shit.
No. We're tight.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Kind of always have been, except for when I decided that I was going to be an adolescent and then a grumpy fucking guy in his 20s at times, you know?
Like, sure.
I put the lady through the ringer. Let's just say that. About, you know, once every 5 years, I decide I'm someone else, and that guy's an asshole.
Sure.
And then I'm just like, this doesn't feel good. Let's not do this.
Yeah.
I think we all went through a bout of that in our 20s. I would say that I put my parents through the ringer, and they would...
Our terrible 20s?
They would agree with me on that.
My terrible 40s when I had, I guess, some sort of a... I don't know what you call when you just completely fucking lose the plot. In your 40s, because it wasn't a midlife crisis necessarily, because I wasn't doing anything.
You didn't buy a Porsche?
I bought a lot of shit, but it wasn't a Porsche.
What did you buy?
I bought out a place of all their stained glass that was going out of business. So I still have a whole room full of stained glass and I'm slowly selling to people who actually want to do it. I fucked with it for like a few afternoons and I was just like, oh. I just liked the way the glass looked in the store. And I pick it up and I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to put this in a window frame. And I just started buying it. I was like, I'll just buy a few pieces. And then I just spiraled. I lost my fucking mind. And I literally bought like van loads of stained glass, which on the first trip taking it home, they didn't pack it very well because they were going out of business and didn't, you know, there's no returns. And I bounced them down the road, my fucking cargo van with it, and half of it breaks, and I was like, well, I've got to get more glass. And so I go back and get more glass, but I get twice as much glass at the next time. And then the years have gone by, and occasionally stained glass people come through our little storefront at the front of the studio and look at stained glass and buy a few pieces.
I want to know some common character traits for stained glass people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't deal with them. What else does?
Okay, great. Okay. What do you think? Let's just get an estimate.
I'm guessing band-aids.
I want to get an estimation on a monetary value placed. How much money did you spend on stained glass?
I don't want to do this.
You don't have to do this.
I know what it was valued at, and I got it for less than half off. And it was like I probably had about $70,000 worth of stained glass.
Okay.
Okay.
But you're still sitting on some of that, some of your stock.
Banking it, yeah.
It can only go up.
I mean, there was a second college when I was fund. Like, all those stained glass companies were having like issues because of some toxicity thing, and they were getting shut down and fined and all this stuff. And stained glass places were closing down left and right. And I was like, yes, I made a smart move. I'm a smart man. And that didn't really...
It didn't okay. fully pan out. Okay, it didn't fully pan out.
No.
You were shorting the stained glass market.
Yeah.
Based off of some lead bullshit. Okay. Hey, man, we've all made worse decisions than that. At least it's pretty to look at, right?
Yeah, that's true. There's aesthetic benefits.
Yeah.
It was
very fragile.
The first piece of glass that I saw that I really liked, the reason I got, I was like, I must have this. It looked like, and I don't want to see this in real life, but I liked it in glass. It looked like blood and milk, and I was like,
okay. So blood and milk looks cool. You don't want to see the literal version of it. That's going to be a bad scene.
Yeah. I don't want to know how it would get there. I don't want anything to do with that entire operation.
Not a cold glass of blood milk at the dinner table.
Blood milk. What's your milk of choice? What's your history of milk drinking through the years?
Oh, the history. When I was a boy, we'd get our milk from these people. They're not Amish. They're called Hooterites, but kind of the same thing. Whatnot, you know, reclusive, button hating, black hat wearing. They're like the Amish, but not. And so we get our milk from them.
Okay,
and it was the real deal. I got to tell you, the real deal is not my favorite thing because, you know, like it separates, it's weird, it tastes, it has like sort of a slight cow shit flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know you're involved in a cow titty. When you can
taste the terroir, and the terroir happens to be mud, shit, and old hay and stuff.
First time I've ever heard that word.
Terroir?
Yeah, what is that?
It's like a wine term where it basically there means it like the soil and the earth where it comes from.
Okay. Could have just said that, couldn't you?
And that flavor gets into the grapes. But usually it's like a beautiful field on the coast of an island in Spain, so like the sea water and the beautiful soil. You're tasting cow shit and stuff, which is not good. But so that's a tough one to drink.
Well, okay, so that was an introduction to milk for me.
Phase one.
And then from then on, I wouldn't drink milk unless there was like copious amounts of chocolate in it. Mm-hmm. And, until they started making soy milk, which is just not that great. And now they make fucking all sorts of milk that's great. Oat milk, it's wonderful. You know, I'll eat dairy products. Like, I don't know what good, you know, like ice cream is just so wonderful. If you've never tried it.
If you've never tried ice cream, check it out.
Dude, think about that shit. Think about the fact that like fucking 200 years ago, most people on earth never would have fucking ice cream. That's some bullshit.
Not a way to live.
Like, go ahead, flip through the whole, you take a minute, flip through the whole Bible. Not one mention of ice cream.
I'll wait.
That's good. I just got my new Donald Trump Bible and I was looking for a reason to flip through it. But this is the push I needed.
His might have a couple ice cream mentions in it.
For a split second, I actually thought about getting that Bible. I didn't, I was like, I don't want to give this human turd a fucking a dime. But
this episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
It contains the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. It has like all that shit.
I'm so sick.
It's just so sick. Like, it's all there, you know?
From a value proposition, it's a real Swiss Army knife of every document you'd ever need to look at.
He's doing something that I've always wanted to, and that's combine church and state. You know, it's been we've separated them for long enough.
Oh, wow.
You know? We've separated them for long enough.
Sitting on that one for a while. That's good, Chris.
Wait a minute. If we combine church and state properly, does anyone have to pay taxes?
That's a great question. Are you a religious organization, so you're exempt, or did you not figure out that loophole?
I've looked into it and I've thought about it. I mean, I didn't look into it very hard. Okay, let's say I talked with my friends about it. But the idea is appealing. Except for that, then you have to, you know, convince the IRS that you believe your own bullshit, and that might be hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, what could I set up that I actually believe that can pass as a religion, and I don't mind doing once a week? And I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, if I picked up Pitchfork, if it were a physical newspaper, and I picked up a copy of it, and it said Isaac Brock started a church, I'd be like, meh.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me, you know?
No. Okay. I'm warming up to the idea again. Would you come to church?
As long as I didn't have to.
Gotta have a congregation.
I'm not giving you 10%. I'll negotiate. I'll give you 5%, maybe.
No tithe.
My tithe is going to be less than 10.
I think I still have a tithe, a Mormon tithe piggy bank around. A center call. It's 3 separate coin slots and it's like red box thing. The middle one is tithe, and it's the tallest one. And then there's fun and mission.
That's good.
And shit.
That's how I need to divide up. Yeah. I need to talk to my accountant about dividing up my savings in a similar way.
I'm surprised that they put a hole in the one that says fun, though.
Yeah, they could have left that one sealed up. They could have left. The Mormons don't have fun. They don't have fun. Unless they escape. And then they're just hot blondes running all over the place.
Right. Yeah, I remember landing at the Utah airport at one point. It was just a transfer or something. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, oh, right. It was like, everyone was just very pretty blonde ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like going to Sweden, just right in our own country.
Right.
Right in our own backyard.
They should fucking use that.
that's their
Utah. Tagline. It's like going to Sweden, basically.
I mean, that's me assuming that everyone else likes Sweden as much as I do.
I'm Sweden pilled as well. I didn't.
Chris loves Sweden.
Yeah, I mean, Scandinavia in general. I'm just like, this is how it's done.
Do you guys do well there on tour, or do you just like it?
I have no memory of what things go for like us on the European tours. It's just so difficult. Like you know, like the whole thing's so fucking weird. The only time I remember something is when it goes. Sadly.
Sure.
Like we played Czechoslovakia to a bunch of people and they looked like I was like giving a speech on like solar power or something. Just like no action at all. And then during one part of one song, a song called Dashboard, they all start jumping and dancing. And then I'm like, oh, they like this song, but then halfway through the song, they absolutely just stop. And when the same part shows up, it's you know, lecture on economics again and shit. It was fucking weird, man. I'm like, and in Portugal they were fucking super psyched, and I found out from the audience that was having 10 billion times more fun that we didn't even have our sound on. There was a fucking malfunction, and so we were just on stage kind of like herky jerking around and there was no sound coming out. They were still having a one of the best audiences I played for.
Just from the booth monitors.
They could hear it.
We have in-ears, man. There's nothing. There's just like a drum beat, a far-off drum beat.
A far-away drum beat.
Yeah.
Okay. So we still do. We still have not come closer to figuring out Europe whatsoever. I mean, we've done some live podcasts there. I've DJed there. I think they respond much easier to DJ. They know how to do that there. But for our podcast, when we were doing that in Amsterdam,
Denmark, not Amsterdam.
You know, they waited until the end to give you applause and laughter and thumbs up.
Right, like Japan does that in this way too, where it's mm-hmm. I don't know. I think applause might not have culturally been a thing they did through the times, you know. And so now, you know, like little East meets West, and they're like, oh, we're going, you know, the live show, and you clap. But they are fucking.
they're ready. Very they're ready for the next one.
Four claps. And then it's done. And then like between bands, like at Fuji Fest, people just like lay on the floor and patiently wait. And then they're not like milling around. Like, I'd like it.
Yeah, that's nice.
I like it too.
Loosen the wrists a little when you clap. But yeah, besides that.
So touring Europe is difficult for you, is what you're saying, even though you've been doing it for most of your life.
I think it's difficult for everyone. I think that it's just kind of, you know, like the bus scene's different. And shit, they're these double-decker buses, and you cram a lot of people into it, and they're kind of hermetically sealed. So you
smell it all.
Our last bus driver let us hang out up front, but a lot of them just lock the door, and you're just like in your traveling prison for like 16 hours and shit. You know,
not great.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, we find ways to pass the time. But
what are you doing back there? Are you gambling? Are you playing video games?
Enjoying a local cider?
I think we just talk about nonsense, a bit like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like a fucking bus ride. There you go.
It's all you really need.
Welcome to tour.
yeah. It's less bumpy, but otherwise it's good.
Right. I tend to eat a lot of mushrooms on tours after shows. You know, no, I never fuck with that mm-hmm. before a show. But like, I'm like, well, I've got 10 hours to kill. Nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
So I would say that in my mind, mushrooms in an enclosed moving vehicle doesn't sound super appealing, but maybe I'm missing something.
Because you're afraid of yourself, man.
I'm definitely afraid of myself. That's 100% true. We don't have time to get into that.
Yeah, I agree. Doing mushrooms, you know, you can't really be afraid of yourself if you're going to enjoy doing mushrooms. Or,
on buses in the States, like this is not something I do on a bus in Europe because it is very enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
But in the States, I can just go sit up in the front seat with the driver and
blow his mind for 8 hours.
You know, some of them are likable and some of them just ignore you. Within the first few days, I was trying to, like, what's this guy about? And 80% of the time, I regret it. I was like, I now have a month and a half of knowing what a piece of shit this person is. Like, just like... Like, just like, wow, you got there quick. You hate all the things that kind of are me. Like, I love when they feel comfortable and they just get racist right away, and then they find out my wife's black.
yeah. A bus driver will test the water real quick to see what your level of racial play is.
Staying up all night driving around a band is such a choice. You know, it attracts a certain kind of person.
It's weird that I think about this a lot. Some of these people have families and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not like me, where I do my month and a half and I am home for, you know, like 4 months or something like that. They're gonna get on another job when it's done, and maybe in 4 months have like a couple weeks where they go home or something. And I always feel like they're just running from their family because there's other job options. It's not like the best paying gig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get blacklisted.
No, it's the same thing we say about golf or, you know, training for a marathon. The amount of time you have to be away from home says something about your relationship to your family.
Mm. Or yourself.
Careful. I do have to leave a lot, and I like them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's different. It's different.
Not bus driver amounts, but, you know, average 3 months, you know, a quarter of the year at least.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's nowadays, that's where you make your bones, you know? That's just what it is. Yeah, we ain't selling CDs.
And I do it during the nice time of the year is what's shitty because I fucking hate a winter tour.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatnot. you know, you're gonna get
no
sick.
One likes a winter
you're
tour.
Not gonna be able to sit for 2 weeks.
So yeah. So you just go every summer. You're like, I'm not doing any cold weather stuff.
Spring, summer, fall, these are all fine times.
These are all great seasons.
I go to the other side of the equator for anything like that in the winter. If they'll have me.
Sure. You have to be invited. You have to be invited.
What's your relationship with social media nowadays? Or do you have one at all?
I've never had one.
Okay.
I've never had a relationship, positive or negative, with, I just don't care for the activity. I was one of the best lucky people who's born before it. And so like when I engage in it, I'm like, why is this fun? You know, I'm just going to go fucking hang out with one of my friends. This is stupid. And I don't really give a fuck what everyone's doing at every given moment, because I just don't give a fuck, because why would you give a fuck? It's just so much of everyone's minutia of your fucking life. Just enjoy it. Why take the time to stop and tell me about it? It's good for you. You painted your toenails. You had a sandwich, whatever. You ate at a restaurant down the street. Good for you.
I think the phrase, the sentence, why is this fun, really kind of sums it up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking that because recently on Twitter, Chris and I are on social media. We look at it more than we post and participate in it. But there was a recent sort of Twitter thread or trending thing where people were sharing what their most indie moment is of their entire life, and people are saying, you know,
what does that even mean?
Exactly right. Exactly right. So. During those, I did a little research, and a few of those, or a few people, involved you or Modest Mouse in their most indie moment. I was wanting to know if I could share a few of those with you.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good. I mean, maybe it positive can be. Memory. Maybe it can be
positive memory.
Oh, so this sounds wonderful, being indie. Okay.
We'll give you some examples. Jason will give you some examples.
Okay, one example. This person's most indie moment. I saw a secret Modest Mouse show when they toured with REM. I was in the front row and Isaac Brock talked to me, and I didn't know that you so that's, you just made someone's life, you know what I mean, by talking to them.
I remember that show.
Go on.
Yeah. It didn't start until like 2 or 3 in the morning, and then so we played with REM, and then we went over to, I think, the Bowery Ballroom or something, and to set up the whole show again. And then I remember I upset Johnny that night. Johnny Marr was playing with us, and I do love that guy. So this is not in any way trash talking. It's a memory of upsetting someone I like a lot.
Yeah.
By asking my friend who toured with us to help me with the set list, because I thought, who gives a shit? It's just another show. What do you think we should play? And I remember Johnny was doing pull-ups on the water pipe and kind of lecturing me. And I was impressed by how many fucking pull-ups he can do. Also, can maintain like a lot of pull-ups. Like I can do 0 pull-ups at this point in my life and shit. And peak fitness, maybe 5, right?
Yeah. I mean, most people cannot do 5 pull-ups.
I believe he was in the fucking 30s of pull-ups. And he was just like, you know, just basically, why the fuck are you asking other people to work on this? This is what we do. I thought it would be fun.
Damn. You got marred.
I got marred.
I stand with Mar on this. That's your job. Don't farm out your responsibilities.
That was supposed to be fun, my friend.
Well, also, Johnny's like, by the way, I don't know all these fucking songs, buddy. I'm just kind of new to this a little bit.
Well, I mean, I know I didn't. He wasn't getting into the weeds with it or anything. He's like, this is someone who toured with us and knew what we were playing.
Right.
And, okay. You know, we have a list of what we could play. Mm-hmm. What would you like from the menu?
Got it.
And
what REM tour is this?
The only one I ever did. I don't know.
Sure. But
what year, time frame, roughly?
That would have been 2012, maybe?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Not that long ago.
And I know it was us. The National opened, and I love the National now. I think the fucking lyrics are just bonkers good and super depressing. I have to be feeling bad for myself to be like, I'm in the mood for the National. But I think that their songwriting is just fucking amazing. And at the time, I did not get it. I was like, I don't, why aren't they doing anything? And it's because I figured this out. Restraint.
Mm.
Yeah.
They've got restraint, and they're patient songwriters. And one of the most heartbreaking songs I've ever heard is "Meet Me." I think it's called "Meet Me at the Stairway" or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, thank God they're opening for you. Just imagine what it feels like to see them.
Oh, that would. I do not believe that would be the case anymore.
No.
To be clear.
REM, and I do believe that possibly at this point in time, that entire fucking thing would be flipped.
Damn, you might be right.
Yeah,
they're big now.
I was a huge REM fan, and I have no interest in going and listening to the records except for the end of the world as we know it.
Did you come out and sing with Stipe at any point on the tour or no?
No, but Johnny went out and played guitar, and Peter Buck,
sure wanted Johnny to come out.
Johnny's not a very cheesy dude.
Yeah,
but Peter Buck wanted to do like the back to back like guitar player thing, and so they're doing that. And I felt bad for Johnny because like if someone's like backing in for the bear scratch on you, and then you can't make him look like
especially Peter Buck. You can't do that to Peter Buck. I mean, on his stage.
He's a fine man.
On his
stage. I would just like to imagine Johnny Marr just noodling the most insane guitar riff and they're going to the back to back, and he's just like, I don't do that. No, just we won't be doing that.
Yeah. I could imagine Johnny's fucking best. He was really a great dude.
Yeah,
did he just is this like a John Mayer Grateful Dead thing where he just loved the music and learned all the songs
with us?
Yeah.
No. I cold called him. I was like,
quite the opposite.
Hey, I really like your playing on that Talking Head song. We should try and play music sometime. We talked for like 2 hours and things, and that was super fun, and we're like, yeah, we'll get together, we'll write like two songs, see how it goes. And then we started doing that, and it was so much fucking fun. Yeah, he was like, I'm not gonna tour, I'm not gonna do any touring or anything like that. I was like, good, because we're not going to ask you to do any touring. We all, we can't afford it. And then the next thing you know, we're touring, and that's great. Yeah, it was a very fun period of time for that band.
Yeah, that feels like a little Pat Smear Nirvana kind of feel to it, maybe.
Man, I went to Steve Turner from Mudhoney's housewarming party when I was like 18,
mm-hmm.
and got a ride in a van, back of a van with like my friends that I went to the party with, and Pat Smear. And it was pretty fucking, I was the joke, and he was really good at making the joke. Making fun of me. I was just like this 18-year-old ding dong, you know, and like he had so much fun just fucking with me.
I mean, it was a pleasure to be roasted by one of the greats like that. I'm sure
that's the most Pacific Northwest ass story I've ever heard.
Isn't it?
All right, I've got another tweet involving you. This person's most indie moment of their life: Isaac Brock signed my stomach at the T-Mobile Jingle Jam.
Okay.
Next question.
Is that a question or just
no? It's not a question, but I just
statement.
What are we doing here?
I liked it. What are we doing here? I just liked it because back in not too long ago, there were things like the T-Mobile jingle jams, and those shit like that doesn't really happen anymore, right?
Yeah, I've apparently blocked this out.
I know
who T-Mobile is, and I'm pretty sure I should remember being involved in any sort of jingle jam.
you guys did. You guys had to do all that shit, though, I'm sure. You had to do all the Christmas.
Acoustic Christmases?
Yeah, all the radio show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I like fucking having lights on in my house and shit. Of course I'm going to do
that. You got to butter your bread. You're going to get up at 6 a.m. and go see Kevin and Bean in the morning do an acoustic version, you know? You're not above it.
No, actually, there are things that don't happen for me at 6 a.m. except for now that I'm a parent again. They do again.
How many kids do you have? Three?
Three, yeah. One of them's graduating college this year. He's 22.
Wow.
He's very smart. I try to talk to him about the things he knows and learns, but I'm not qualified.
Does he think you're cool or does he think you're a freak?
No, I don't think he thinks I'm cool, or I think he knows I'm a freak. but like he loved me despite it.
Yeah.
Shit, you know, like I, for him, I wasn't the dad I am to my two daughters and shit because sure. he lived on the other side of the country. And I was just always fucking on tour, or like in a bad way where I just like, you know, he didn't get the full fucking, mm-hmm. the royal treatment. Like I now am trying to give him, but it's like, it's too late, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, yeah. Like, but you guys have a good relate. You get along, and you have a good relationship.
Yeah, we get along fine, and I like him and whatnot. I'm surprised by how much of the music in the '90s I listened to is what he listened to. All of Sebado and Codeine and all that shit.
Wow.
So he's cool. That sounds pretty good.
I don't know how to gauge that anymore. I mean, I would think that if
it's not the kind of music that college graduates listen to nowadays. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Do you? How many of them do you?
Where did he go to college? Did he go to college in a
Walla Walla, Washington?
Okay.
Walla Walla, Washington.
But it's like a college town.
So he moved from Bethesda, or not Bethesda, Maryland. From Maryland.
Yeah.
To Washington to go to school. He went to the other side of the country, which is convenient because that is the side of the country I live on, although I have not been to his college one fucking time. Because I can't find time for the 4.5-hour drive that I'm like,
mm-hmm.
How old are your other kids?
4 and 6. They're girls and they're hilarious. And I'm yeah.
Dude, so sweet. You have, okay, so you had a long break.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think you're finished?
I made sure I am.
Okay.
I had the operation.
You invested in your future.
No, I didn't, like, if I were to choose to have kids, they would have to put a syringe in my balls. and that's commitment. That's like, I'm like, okay, yeah. I really want
it. You gotta really want it.
I want someone else to go through labor. If someone else has to go through fucking labor, yeah, you're getting a syringe in the balls.
Maybe adoption's not a bad idea. I'd rather do a lot of things.
Every time we have like a war, which is like, I don't know, I've got like 4 of them right now. So I'm just like, I should adopt. Like I actually Googled adopting orphans from Gaza and had this whole fucking life plan. My wife was surprised too when I told her. And shit, but I went so far as like Googling it. I was like, oh, you know, like, of course, I don't want to be a dick, so I'll have to, you know, like, take them to mosques and shit, and whatever their parents believe, let them grow up in that, and just be like, I don't believe in this, but I'll show up, you know, and we'll do this until you decide, mm-hmm. you know, like, that maybe you don't believe in it. But then it just, I was just like, or not, how about not on any of this? And so that's my thing.
How much time are you spending on the World Wide Web?
Okay, so doom scrolling.
yeah,
I don't spend so much I'm just, time on
you
the
know,
web.
You led me here,
but I open the news thing, and I just look at. I have a ceremony. I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette, kind of get my head together, and let's see what these idiots are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, and I open it up, and I'm like, oh. I just look at it, and then I get sick of it, and I go to something called the Brighter Side News. And which is a website, and I go to the Brighter Side News, and they're like, "Hey, getting closer to curing cancer. Oh, monkeys can actually talk." Shit like that. I was like, "Oh, you know, like plants have feelings."
I didn't know that was. It's literally called the Brighter Side News.
Do it. I'm not going to be offended if you just check it out right now. Go ahead. Let's see what the Brighter Side News is today.
I don't want to see that shit.
What?
I like reality, baby. I like the bad stuff. I like the bad stuff.
The news. And I'm not like on a fake news tip. I'm just saying, I read the news every fucking day, and I listen to as much time of NPR news and shit as I can, and whatever. And I'm like, perfect example. Thank you, news, for giving me the most perfect example. So a boat crashed into a fucking bridge. We're all aware of this. Everyone's aware of it. And here's how that happened.
ISIS.
There was a fucking power outage. They called. They made a fucking, you know, like. A mayday call, and that wasn't good enough, and those things are huge, and there wasn't a fucking tugboat nearby or something to fucking like stop it from drifting into a bridge. The bridge was removed. That is how that went. Now, it doesn't matter. From CNN to fucking Fox, there's like, was it this? They're like, they're trying to make some other fucking story out of it. Like, yeah. Like not entirely conspiratorial, but like What other bridges? That was a fucking, like, what are our most threatened bridges in America? I'm just like, well, obviously any of them that have, like,
all of them
mall-sized tankers fucking drifting here.
How
can we not just accept that was a fucking, like, that company's gonna have to buy Baltimore Bridge? That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty big part of Baltimore, that bridge, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
They're on a pretty good bridge. That's what happened.
You're right. It's a pretty cut and dry mm-hmm. story. Is the truth? Like you're saying, it's just like this is what happened.
And the six people dead fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that number's not more.
I agree.
It should be. I mean,
they were on their lunch break. And they were in their cars, and apparently just didn't notice they were on their phones, doom scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah. The brighter side of news is nice. It gives you an index. Like a letter grade for how good the news is today. Today it's C+.
Oh, it's been a C+. Is it still the quote from fucking some musician?
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, boo.
The quote of the week: wanting to be someone else is a waste of who you are.
I'm thinking they're on vacation because it's been the quote of the month.
Okay.
It's been their
wow. Yeah.
Okay. Brighter side of the news: not getting as much traffic as CNN, perhaps. You know, the bucks aren't coming in.
No, I mean, look, it's they can only afford so much.
You know, they're harvesting a pretty empty field.
It's not their fault.
They're doing their best.
It's not their fault. It's society's fault.
I mean, if brighter side news quote comes from a guy who blew his fucking brains out, I think they're already missing the plot, or maybe. Like,
what is your relationship with Nirvana? Because I think they're overrated. I'm a whole guy.
Oh God. just to be contrary,
I would rather
I like Hole. So before
I would rather
think about Courtney Love. I had a Hole record and a Hole 7-inch record, and I thought it was pretty good. It was growly and gruff, and it was grungy. It was what I liked. It was the shit I was into and things. Nirvana was fucking good, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
like off the charts good. And it's like,
but would you listen to Nirvana now? Like, yes. Do you put that on?
I would fucking put on Bleach.
Okay,
in a heartbeat. I don't like the production on Nevermind because it does that kind of watery. Like, there's a lot of chorus and shit on it in this way that, like,
yeah.
I like, hey, let's make it sound slick. Just toss some shiny, fucking trippy, bubbly sounding crap on it. I don't love it, but the songs were fucking good, man.
Mm-hmm.
We actually wrote a song with us. I remixed it like fucking literally. I've had 10 different people mix it. I've personally remixed it at least 30 times, and I still can't get it right. And shit.
Wow. Have you let... okay, you can't get it right, and only you can decide if it's right.
It's a great song.
Okay.
But I'm like, too grunge, too industrial. Oh, now we made it too weird. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to make sure my voice sounds androgynous, so I'm going to have Lisa Molinaro sing the entire song with me, and we'll just mix it so you can't tell if it's a man or a woman singing. And then it's like, too much, like, how? 2001, Space Odyssey. Okay, you know, like, it's a good song, and I'm going to fucking, it's an election year. And it's a perfect song for that. It's
called Okay, we have a lot of mix engineers listening right now who are willing to throw their hat into the ring, so, you know.
Take a shot at it.
Oh, you know, I'll put the fucking stems up.
Upload the stems.
And if anyone wants to fucking mess with it, that's fine.
Okay.
May the best mixer win.
May the best mixer win. All right, beautiful. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us, Isaac.
Yeah, this was fucking easy.
We try. No, it was a pleasure. Thank you. I know you have stuff going on. You got some stained glass to unload.
It's not like talking to that Zane Lowe.
Yeah, if you know anyone. Yeah, that guy's a dick. that's the Apple Music dude, right?
Yeah.
What a fucking asshole. I'm not joking, man. Like,
what did he do?
He was just such a patronizing shit. I was like, the fuck is going on? And like, he's like, he's age shaming me and shit. I'm like, what? You invited me here, motherfucker. What the fuck are we doing?
I think I remember him like shaming you involving your hair, or saying like nobody would want to come see you, or he's complimenting you for having hair. You know, which is like one weird thing. But then he was saying like people don't want to come see a rock show from a balding guy, and then you were like, I think people still would come see Modest Mouse if I was a little balding.
I went to fucking Fugazi shows, and like, I'm pretty sure he was already bald, pretty bald. And you know, like,
oh yeah, he's been bald since day one. He's been bald the whole 14
time. 14 fucking years old, and it did not make the show worse. I was like, oh, the shine, this, I can't see what's going on. I was like, yeah, this is the best show I ever saw a bald guy play. I didn't even say that.
Uh-huh. Like, Save it for next time. When is the anniversary of the album? When does it come out?
I think the 5th. So okay. Whatever.
Oh, Friday.
Whatever that is.
Damn. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Friday. Are you guys playing some shows too?
With featuring a remix of Ocean Breathes Salty from Poolside, who's a friend of mine.
Yeah, we did a bunch of remixes. I had Dan the Automator did a really fucking good one of Float On.
Oh wow!
It kind of sounds like the Flaming Lips took Nature. shit. So that's kind of cool. Okay. Justin Raisin did one that's pretty decent. He did. He's the guy who did the last Lil Yachty record.
Okay.
And shit.
Wow. And, all over the board.
MGMT did one. Just Dennis Herring, the guy who actually produced the record initially, like, did a remix of a song, and it was so perfect. Like, it was the perfect remix of this song, because all my old songs, even the really nice ones, I'm just like, well, this is a really pretty song where I actually am saying something I feel, but I gotta show I've got some edge, so let's get crazy halfway through. Mm-hmm. And make it like why don't I fuck this up for people who are enjoying a nice song by just going fucking ape shit crazy.
Why don't we reverse the guitar solo just cause?
Well, that's because it sounds cool.
You're like, well
that's kind of one of my
nothing wrong with reversing. Nothing wrong reversing.
Go to.
I love your.
Just
I love your reversing work.
Yeah, thank you,
Isaac. You've figured it out. Thanks again, Isaac. We'll see you soon.
Talk to you soon. You guys take care. Bye.
See you later.